Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Actually, we're going to go somewhere before Matthew. Hold on. Go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 15 this morning. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in the vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Isn't that a blessing? That God is our shield and exceeding great reward. And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" So let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. God, thank you for how good you are to us, and that, God, you are our shield, and that you are our protection, and God, you are our strength, and truly we have no better place to go than to run and turn to you. Lord, as we sang this morning, we may be troubled and burdened, but God, we know that burdens are lifted at Calvary. God, thank you for the amazing grace that saved our soul. Lord, I pray that you bless the sermon this morning, and God, that you'd be honored and glorified with all that is said and done. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. In Genesis chapter 15 and verse 2, we're told of this, as the Bible names him, Eliezer. The Bible says that he is in the house of Abram, and he has a responsibility. The Bible calls him, his profession is a steward. A steward. Now, that's not like Chase's middle name, Stuart. It's steward, all right? Spelled differently means a totally different thing. In your bulletin this morning on the front page, I believe I put the definition of what a steward is. Anybody have that? All right. What a steward is a man employed in great families to manage the domestic concerns. All right, so if you can understand what we're talking about here, the person is hired almost as a servant, if you will. We're going to see some of the parallels with that. But a steward had a great amount of responsibility. They were entrusted with great things. Here we see that Eliezer is entrusted to find or help Abraham find a wife for Isaac. We'll see that later on in passages. He sends his steward out, or his servant. It was more than a servant. It was more than just someone that took care of maybe a horse or something of that. It was higher up than that. Again, employed in great families to manage domestic concerns. Now, if we turn over to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 25. We have a familiar story to us that kind of gives us a little insight into God's approach to man as a steward. We're going to see this word show up multiple times in our scripture. It's not just an Old Testament word. It is a New Testament principle that God, listen now, has entrusted us with some responsibilities. I'm not sure if you've ever worked at a place where someone tries to shirk their responsibilities. I used to work at Wegmans, one of my first jobs, and there was a person, and man, they would take exceedingly long breaks. They would stand off to the side and just wait till someone else, and if no one else would take care of the problem, they would do it. And there was no one liked working with that person. No one likes to work with someone that dodges their responsibilities. You know, God has given us some responsibilities. And here this passage kind of gives us some information about that, God's view on it. So let's read in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 14. "For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called for his servants and delivered unto them his goods." So we see the synonymous word almost using as servants and a steward. Here he's delivering to them goods. A wealthy man asking someone to manage some of his things. And unto one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway took his journey. So if we understand what's happening, we have the master. He comes, he takes his stewards, and he says, "All right, I'm going to give you 5 talents. Talents was a measure of money. I'm going to give you 5 talents. I'm going to give you 2, and I'm going to give you 1. Maybe this is the new guy, right? This guy's been here for a little while. This guy has proven himself. He says, all right, I'm going to go away, but when I return, I'd like to see you do something with that. See, God, in the same way, has entrusted us with some valuable things. He says, all right, here's what I'm going to give you, and here's what I'm going to give you, and here's what I'm going to give you. I'm going to go away for a little while, and when I come back, I expect you to do something with the responsibilities that I've given you. We are a steward of God. And as we continue the passage, then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded the same and made them other 5 talents. We're not told how long he's gone. We're not told how long he had to invest this. But at the end of it all, when the master shows up again, he took 5 talents and turned it into 10. Good job. Doubled, right? If I told you, I know this place that you could double your money. I'm in, right? You try and find as much as you possibly could and give that to that person. And likewise, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. Equally, proportionally, and percentage-wise, took what he had and he doubled it. Great. That's going to be good. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. So we have the last guy, the new guy, maybe. Maybe he made some financial mistakes before, lost money, and he's nervous about it. This is my last step. If I don't do this, I'm in big trouble. So I don't want to lose money. So he took the money and he buried it. Not going to lose it. When the master comes back, he's not going to have less. Well, let's see what happens. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh, reckoneth with them. He says, all right, let's get the accounts out. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. How did the Lord like that? Let's see what he says. And the Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. He was very pleased. Again, we're not told how long he's gone, but he took what he had and he doubled it. He made something of it. He was wise with what responsibility he had been given. Verse 22. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. And the Lord said unto him, well, you did all right. No, he says this. Well done, good and faithful servant. He says the exact same thing to the guy that took 5 and doubled it, the guy that took 2 and doubled it. He's very pleased with how it all turned out. You took the responsibility that I had given you, and you took it seriously, and you did well, he says. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received 1 talent. I wonder if that guy's standing there with his one thing. First guy, 5 guys. The guy with the 5, he's got to hang him down. Remember Vacation Bible School? Right? We had Vacation Bible School. In Vacation Bible School, we have penny contest. Remember that? Our banker does not like Vacation Bible School week because I bring in $350, $400 worth of pennies. So there we are, bundles of pennies. And maybe that's what that one servant's standing there. He's called in to before his master, and he brings his 5 talents and 5 more talents, and all around his feet are 10 talents. Lots of stuff. The guy in the middle, the guy that had 2, he's able to hold his. And then there's this guy. He looks over at the guy with the 5. He hears the response of the master, and I do believe his heart sank a little. Looks at the guy with the 2, and he's thinking in his head, what am I going to do? This is not what I should have done. The Bible says, then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. He says, and I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. He says, I've returned to you exactly what you gave me. And the Lord says, that's not what I was looking for you to do. I gave you responsibility not to just maintain it, but to move it forward. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have strawed, I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. He is harsh with his words. He says, you blew it. I gave you one job, and what'd you do? You took the responsibilities that I gave you, and you buried it. You did nothing with it. You didn't try and invest it. You didn't try. And say he would have come back with just anything more, but he didn't. Obviously, the market was okay. We had the guy that took 5 and got 5 more, the guy that brought 2 and got 2 more, and now we have this guy that did nothing with what he was given. You and I are like these. The Bible tells us, turn with me to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. So you and I are stewards. We have been given responsibility, not monetarily, spiritually speaking. But the Bible tells us in Titus chapter 1 and verse 7, a steward of God himself. God has given us responsibilities concerning himself. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 7 it says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. There's good stewards and there's not so good stewards. There's those that take responsibility serious and do well with it. You know, there's certain people that no matter where they get a job, it's not too long before they're in management. Why is that? Because they come to work on time. They dress appropriately. They're kind towards their fellow employees. And you know what? That is a thing that is just few and far between these days. You handle yourself wisely. You handle your responsibilities well. You get your job done. And it's not going to be too long before you're training other people how to do that job. That's what happens. That's what happens. When you meet your quotas, when you meet your marks, that's just good responsibility. If you sit by the phone and just wait for it to ring for business, it's not going to be too long till someone else is going to be sitting at your desk. And God has given us responsibilities. He has given us tasks and jobs. And say, well, I'll just wait here until someone comes by and asks me about Jesus. That's like taking the talent and burying it in the sand. The Bible tells us we are a steward of God. We are not been necessarily, we'll talk about it. I'm not necessarily talking about financial things, but the responsibilities concerning the Word of God with us. And the Bible tells us to be, again, there's good stewards and there's not good stewards. Someone that's irresponsible. Some people that miss their responsibility, don't take it serious. NASA. You have to take that job very serious. Why? People's lives are at stake. The military. You can't approach that as, if we win, we win. If we don't win. No. What are they looking for? They're looking for soldiers that are committed to the cause. Hey, what is God looking for? He's looking for some people that are taking His word serious. And the Bible says this. What makes a good steward this morning? Number one, that they be blameless. Trustworthy. Trustworthy. Go back to Genesis chapter 17 really quickly. We'll look at one verse. If I beat you there, I'm going to read it, all right? Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 99 years old and 9, sorry. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, so he's 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. You know what God is asking of Abram? Who will then change his name to Abraham? Abraham, I'm going to use you in a mighty way. Here's what I want. I want you to be blameless. I want you to be perfect. I want you to be trustworthy. I want people, when they look at you, to glorify me. I'm giving you a responsibility. So Abraham didn't sign up for that. What a blessing that he got that, though. So I ask about you this morning. Are you a good steward? Say, what makes a good steward? Concerning the things of God, are you blameless? Are you trustworthy? Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Are you aware of who you're representing? Can I say, so many times on social media or on the news, they find the craziest Christians to interview. It's like, no, don't talk to that guy. Why? Because he's nuts. He doesn't believe the Bible. He's wearing the cloak of Christianity, but he doesn't believe these things. Please do not make him the representative of all of the voice of God. How are we doing representing the Lord? How are we at being the stewards of God, the responsibilities that He has given us? Are we trying to invest it in the work of God? Are we trying to help things grow? Or are we just taking what we have been given and burying it? Number one, are we blameless? Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Okay. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless. The sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Hey, I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but the things that go on outside of Christianity, it is a mess. I told you about that young nurse that nurse I ran into a couple weeks ago. And she really struggled with some of the things that she saw working in an emergency room for 7-8 years. She said, humanity is very low. Hey, what are we supposed to do? We, as Christians, are supposed to be blameless because we have the responsibilities of God upon us. We do all things without murmurings and disputings. Holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. And may I remind us, may the word of God remind us this morning of who you are representing. We are stewards of God. We all have maybe a favorite sports team or a political view that maybe you align with. Maybe you have a hat that represents, again, an organization or something. And all of a sudden that organization or someone on that organization does something dumb. Commits a crime. All of a sudden, that political figure does something that you don't agree with. You put that away in the closet for a little while. Hey, representing the Lord Jesus Christ, I never have to worry about, oh, God's going to do something that I don't agree with. Oh, God's going to do something. No, we just align ourselves with the Word of God and holding forth the Word of life, and I don't have to worry about it all. But the only problem is I have to be blameless. Trustworthy. What makes a good steward? What makes a good someone that we want to give responsibility to? Are they blameless? Are they trustworthy? Hey, at work, how many keys are on your ring? Say, what does that mean? What kind of responsibilities do you have? Do you have access to the safe? Oh, no. Do you have access to the file? No. They wouldn't give me that. Why not? Are you not blameless? Are you not trustworthy? How about the work of God? Are you blameless? I love those passages where they try and find blame with Christ. Can't find any. I love the passage where they try and find blame on Daniel. Yeah, we found him. He's guilty. Guilty of what? Loving God. He's not going to turn his back on him. He is as crooked towards the things of God as... That's all they could accuse him on. Blameless. Are you a good steward here this morning? Are you blameless? Number two. Colossians chapter 3. Say number two. Do you see what time it is? I understand. The large introduction. We have one, two, three. All right. Colossians chapter 3. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Tonight we'll be in James chapter 2. We've made it through chapter 1. We'll be in James chapter 2 tonight. I invite you to come back. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Say, what makes a good steward? A good servant. Reminding us that we are in service to God Himself. Not sure if you're aware a law is on the books that where companies might be forced to hire people that disagree with what they believe. Say, that's weird. Yeah, that would be like Ford hiring a Toyota executive in the engineering department. You think that's going to go good? No. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. Imagine if I was serving to try and make you happy. That is detrimental to the master. See, as a good steward, we have to remember who it is that we're serving. We are in service to the King. The question is, who is that? Well, the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 4 that he is love. God is love. So many times people struggle with who is God. The Bible lays it out perfectly. God is love. It says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Isn't that good to know? Isn't that a blessing that the God of this Bible that was written so many years ago is still the God on the throne of in heaven? And I don't have to wonder, is He like that still? Does He not like that? They say your palate changes every 7 years. So if you haven't tried Brussels sprouts in 7 years, give it a go. You might like it. I don't know how, but you might. But God does not change every 7 years. It's not like, well, I don't really like that law anymore. Let's do away with that. Or no, let's not use Jesus as the key to heaven. Let's use something else. No, He does not change. And we're in service to that King. God. And all His love and all His standards and all His ways, where the Bible says that He changes not. That He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And God is light. 1 John 1:5. He is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 28. The Bible tells us in John chapter 14 and verse 26 that He is our comforter. Oh man, what a blessing that is. I was telling the young adults class this morning, most wonderful time of the year. Say, what is that? Today. Right now. It's always the most wonderful time of the year. There's something good about every time of the year. This week is Thanksgiving. Get to see family maybe you don't get to see. Get to fellowship. Maybe spend some extra time thinking about just the things that you're thankful for. But for some, holiday time is tough. What was isn't no longer or changed. Isn't it good to know that God, His very attribute is comfort? That He can help you with those. He is our shepherd, Psalm 23, and He wants to lead us along. He is our Savior. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 6 that He is holy. Who am I representing? That one right there. Who's given me this responsibility? That one right there. The God of love and of light and our comforter and our Savior. The holy God of heaven. And He allows us to serve Him. Isn't there a background check? I feel like I should have been checked out a little bit before I get to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I mean, they do background checks to go visit prisoners at the prison there to preach to them on Thursday nights. takes like 2 months to get cleared to go preach. Don't you think the God of heaven should do a little background investigation as I'm representing him? Oh, he did, and he's very clear of who he has called. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So what's the difference when we live for the Lord and when we live for us? Well, when we live for us, because here's the points. Number one, to be a good steward, we need to be blameless. Number two, we need to remember who we serve. And the Bible warned us in Colossians, hey, be careful that you not be men pleasers, but pleasers of God. Say, what happens if I try and please me or man? Well, I become selfish and phony. Men pleasers, for eye service, it says. There's lack of purpose. But when we please and look to seek to please the Lord, what happens? Well, the Bible told us in that we would, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 22, how do we do this? Fearing God, there's a humility. In Revelation chapter 4, 11, it tells us that we have a hope. That we are here to please Him. That's why we were created. And God has given us some responsibility. And the question is, what are you doing with your responsibility today? As a steward of God, have you taken your talents and just buried them in the sand? I don't want to just be a steward. I want to be a good steward. I want to be blameless. I want to remember who it is that I serve. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Now we'll go quickly. So you said that last point. I know. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so... 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 1. Let a man so account of us as the ministers of Christ and as stewards of the mysteries of God. We are responsible for the mysteries of God. We've been entrusted with the mysteries of God. Say, what is that? The grace of God which bringeth salvation unto all men. Without Christ, you don't understand that. We've been entrusted with that. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what? Faithful. Blameless. Servant of the King. Faithful. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Love this verse in Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. This was great. Hebrews 10:23 says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For He is faithful that promised. Our faithfulness, our call to faithfulness to God is not based on us, but it's based on God Himself. God is faithful, therefore we ought to be faithful. Why? Because we represent that King. We've been entrusted as the stewards of God to represent God Himself, who is love, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who is light, who is everlasting, who is the comforter, the shepherd to us all, our Savior and holy. And here it tells us, faithful. A good steward is faithful. Doesn't quit when it gets hard. Well, I'll serve God just as long as it goes my way. No, that's not how we serve the Lord. I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but life sometimes doesn't go our way. Some of you are snickering. I take it that life has not gone your way. Any professional baseball players? No, probably not. When I was 10, that's what I wanted to be. Yeah, well, welcome to reality. I was hoping to be the CEO of Microsoft one day. Well, all right. Maybe someday you might still get there. But what happens when it doesn't go your way? Does that mean we get a license to quit? All right, I'm out. No. No, all the contrary. No, we're going to hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Even when it's difficult, we will be faithful. Because that's a good steward of the responsibilities that we've been given. There's two more quick. Luke chapter 12. How many of you like it when we keep it freezing cold in here? Anybody like that? I do too, yeah. Thank you, Miss Wilcox. Do you know why we do that? Because you're mean and cruel? No, because it keeps everyone awake. Yeah. I'm looking out over the thing. Maybe it's a message, but I'm seeing more eyelids than I'm seeing the eyeballs. Luke chapter 2, or 12, and verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward?" Luke chapter 12 and verse 42. And the Lord said, "Who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household to give them their portion of meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Of a truth I say unto you that he will make him ruler over all that he hath." God, what is it that you want from me? Well, I'd like you to be blameless. I'd like you to remember that you serve me. I'd like you to be faithful, because there's going to come a stretch where it's going to get a little difficult. But I promise you, if you see it through, you're going to be so thankful that you did. And I want you to be active. I want to see you, when I come back, I'm going to see you doing. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Hey, where's all the responsibilities I gave you? Oh yeah, they're in the closet. I haven't touched those in years. What? That's not what I wanted. That's not what God wants from you. He wants you so doing. Active. Here we see a rebuke for doing nothing with what he has given. Can we not all agree that God has been exponentially gracious to all of us? We have been given much. The Bible calls us rich. Say, have you seen my vehicle? Yeah, yeah. Apart from all that. Not physically. Spiritually, we are incredibly rich. We have hope. We have peace. I can pillow my head at night knowing that all is well. It is well with my soul. People will spend millions of dollars trying to get that. I have joy. I understand what real love is. I'm working on the patience part. But I have a real relationship with God. I've been given much. Lastly, Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. What makes a good steward? Well, someone that's blameless. Someone that understands that they serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Someone who is faithful, even though it might get difficult, does not waver in the faith. Someone who is active, that when God comes, finds so doing. And then lastly, someone who is compassionately charitable. Say, where do you see that? Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things that how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. God, how do you want me to serve you? By loving others. By being a blessing and help to others. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 27 it says this. If you're not there, just listen. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. God says, you better be kind to others. I am looking, I am watching, I'm paying attention how you deal with the needs of others. First Peter chapter 4, second to last verse. First Peter chapter 4, in verse 10. First Peter 4:10. As every man hath received the gift, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. A giver. God did not bring salvation to your house that you might take it and bury it. He brought it by your way that you might be charitable with others. And the same passage in verse 8, and above all these things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. What makes a good steward? One that is charitable and compassionate with the gifts that they have been given. Our last verse, Luke chapter 12 and verse 48. I'll just read you the passage. Luke 12, 48 says, for unto whomsoever much is given, the Bible says, of him shall be much required. God has given us quite a bit. He's entrusted us with the gift of God, the grace of God. The question is, what are we doing with it? Would our life be categorized as a good steward? We're all stewards of it. We've all been entrusted with it. The question is, what are we doing with it? Are we doing our best to take what it is that God has given us, whether it's much or just a little bit more than much or less than much, and trying to do great things with it? Or are we taking the greatest gift ever given and taking it and burying it in the sand? And saying, okay, when he comes back, I'm just going to give him back what he gave me. That's not what he's looking for. He's looking for us to be good stewards. And a good steward takes what he's given and turns it into more. Let's all stand.